This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine buying a fast food burger. You drive all the way home, you open the bag, and then you realize you have to spend the next 25 minutes actually assembling and grilling and plating it yourself.
You'd feel a pretty profound sense of cognitive dissonance, I mean.
Right. You'd be like, what did I just buy? And that exact culinary paradox, that massive collision between modern convenience culture and actual physical kitchen reality, it's hiding inside something you probably pass by in the grocery store every single week.
It really is.
So welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the preparation profile provided by our sources for a dish that completely upends what we think we know about convenience food. We are decoding Korean ramyeon.
Yeah, and the dissonance you mentioned, that's really the perfect place to start because we are so conditioned by the digital age, you know, to expect a seamless, friction-free existence.
Oh, totally. We want everything right now.
Yeah, exactly. When we hear certain keywords, particularly in the realm of food, our brains instantly calculate the required effort down to zero. The term instant usually implies an experience totally devoid of time, devoid of process, and frankly, devoid of attention.
But the data we're looking at today.
Right. The data regarding this specific dish tells a completely different story about what is actually required of the home cook.
And before we get into the wild contrast of that time commitment, we really have to establish exactly what we are putting in the pot.
Yeah.
Because the terminology sets the stage for the entire experience.
It's crucial.
If you type the generic term into a search engine, you usually just get the phrase instant noodles. Our sources are very deliberate with their categorization here. We are talking about noodles, yes, but specifically the romanization is R-A-M-Y-E-O-N.
Yes.
Korean ramyeon. I really want to emphasize that pronunciation for you listening at home. Ramyeon. Calling it just instant noodles is, it's like calling a custom-tailored suit just fabric.
That's a great way to put it. Pronunciation and categorization do a lot of the heavy lifting here. Language frames our culinary expectations.
Absolutely.
When you use a generic catch-all term like instant noodles, you are mentally lumping this dish in with, you know, the styrofoam cups of generic dorm food you might have eaten at 2 a.m. during college.
Oh, yeah, just pure mindless consumption.
Exactly. It implies this monolithic category of cheap, rushed, thoughtless food. But by isolating it as Korean ramyeon, the source material demands that we treat it as a distinct culinary entity.
Right. It has its own identity.
It has its own parameters, its own preparation standards, and an identity that exists totally outside of that fast food stereotype.
Which really makes the instant label almost an insult to the chemistry happening in the pot.
Yeah.
Because when we look at the actual preparation time provided by the source, the whole illusion of, like, instantaneous gratification completely falls apart.
It shatters completely.
The estimated cooking time explicitly listed is approximately 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second. 25 minutes. If you are making a pot roast, 25 minutes of prep is nothing. But if your brain is operating under the assumption of instant noodles, a 25-minute window feels like an absolute eternity.
It forces a total recalibration of your evening. You just cannot approach a 25-minute process the same way you approach hitting a button on a microwave.
Right.
What the source is hinting at here is the reality of deliberate home cooking. 25 minutes suggests that this isn't merely about rehydration. It's a real process.
Yeah, because what are you actually doing for almost half an hour? Here's where it gets really interesting. The source simultaneously rates the difficulty of this preparation as easy.
Right, which seems contradictory.
Exactly. So I'm looking at this and thinking, how can something be mechanically easy but still demand nearly 30 minutes of your life? It's not like you're rendering down pork fat or executing these complex knife skills.
Well, the key distinction here is between technical difficulty and temporal commitment.
Okay, unpack that.
So easy means the barrier to entry is low. You don't need formal culinary training to make this. But the time commitment reveals that this is an active participatory process.
You're actually doing this.
Right. You are setting up your kitchen station. You are bringing the water to a boil, which, you know, takes time depending on your equipment.
Yeah.
You are monitoring the pot. You might be assembling additional side items to serve alongside the dish.
Just getting organized.
Exactly. And most crucially, you are managing the physical transformation of the noodles to achieve a specific texture.
So you're actually cooking. You aren't just pouring hot water from a kettle and walking away to watch TV. You are present in the kitchen.
And that presence is what changes the dynamic from a quick, mindless snack into mindful meal prep. You are attending to the food.
It's an intentional act.
Yes. The 25-minute window requires you to transition from whatever you're doing, working, answering emails, scrolling on your phone, and physically engage with the act of preparing sustenance safely in your own home context. It's an easy task, but it requires your attendance. It shifts your relationship with the food from a passive consumer to an active participant.
I really love that reframing. It takes this thing we assume is a thoughtless shortcut and reveals it as a deliberate, albeit easy, culinary ritual.
Yeah.
But that brings up the next major question. If you were standing in your kitchen for 25 minutes, engaging in this mindful preparation, what exactly is happening with the flavor profile? Because if you look at the ingredient parameters laid out in our sources, they are surprisingly restrictive.
Restrictive is an understatement.
Right.
The baseline profile we are given completely eliminates the variables that most people associate with hearty, savory broths.
Exactly. The source explicitly states that this dish contains absolutely no pork, no beef, no chicken, and no seafood.
None.
Zero animal proteins.
Zero animal proteins in the baseline profile. At the same time, it dictates that the spiciness level is mild.
Right. And looking at those constraints, it strikes me that this isn't an accident or simply some cost-saving measure. It's a highly intentional architectural decision for the flavor. How so?
When you remove heavy animal proteins from a broth, you fundamentally change the physics of how the food interacts with your palate.
Oh, I see. Think of a heavy, fatty beef broth or a rich pork stock, like acoustic foam in a recording studio.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Animal fat is heavy, right? It coats the tongue. It acts as a dampener. It absorbs and muffles delicate flavors, which is why you usually need massive amounts of salt or aggressive spices to cut through a heavy meat stock.
Absolutely.
So by stripping all of that away, by entirely removing the pork, beef, chicken, and seafood, you are pulling all the acoustic foam off the walls. Suddenly, the environment is incredibly pristine.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. The viscosity of the liquid changes completely without rendered animal fat. The broth becomes thinner, cleaner, and much more direct.
Yeah.
And because the acoustic foam is gone, whatever flavor you do introduce is going to echo loudly across the palate.
Which perfectly explains why the heat level is explicitly dialed in as mild. If you introduced an aggressive, extreme spice into a broth with no animal fat to buffer it, it would be purely agonizing. It would just blow your palate out entirely. The mild heat has to do all the heavy lifting.
The capsaicin, that's the chemical compound responsible for the sensation of heat, hits your taste receptors much more cleanly in a water-based, non-fatty medium.
Right. There's nothing protecting your tongue.
Exactly. So by keeping the heat mild, it transitions from being a novelty or a challenge into becoming the actual structural backbone of the dish.
It's the foundation.
Yes. It provides a gentle, warming architecture that supports the noodles. It's not trying to compete with the heavy, umami-rich distraction of chicken or the distinct, sometimes overpowering, oceanic punch of seafood.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
The mild spice is the star, and it functions perfectly because the stage has been completely cleared for it.
It's really a masterclass in culinary subtraction.
Huh.
By taking away the dominating elements, you create a baseline that is incredibly accessible.
Accessible and safe.
Right. It's not intimidating. It doesn't rely on complex variables that might alienate certain palates.
And this structural baseline, this mild, meatless foundation, leads directly to what our sources emphasize as one of the most critical practical benefits of this specific preparation profile.
The dietary adaptability.
Bingo.
Because that baseline foundation is completely devoid of meat and seafood, it inherently opens the door to total control for the home cook. The source explicitly confirms that vegetarian substitutions are a definitive yes.
Which fundamentally changes the utility of the dish. It ceases to be just a specific cultural meal and becomes this incredibly versatile, universal pantry staple.
Think about the reality of cooking for people today. It can be super complicated. You have friends over.
Right.
And maybe someone is vegetarian.
Right. And normally you're scrambling to adjust a recipe.
Exactly. But the beauty of this Korean ramyeon profile is that you don't have to reverse engineer a complex traditional recipe to accommodate them. You don't have to water down a rich pork broth or apologize that the soup base has hidden chicken stock.
The dish is practically begging to be adapted. It's designed from the ground up to be inclusive.
It really is.
Because the base is just those noodles with a mild warming heat and critically no meat or seafood to work around. Substituting in vegetarian elements is totally seamless.
You aren't fighting against the ghost of an animal protein.
Right. You aren't worrying if there is a hidden anchovy paste that's going to trigger a severe seafood allergy or violate some dietary restrictions.
That is such a relief.
It empowers the home cook to safely tailor the dish to almost any need without compromising the structural integrity of the meal itself. The texture of the noodles remains the focal point. The mild heat remains the backbone.
You are operating in a completely safe home cooking context. It shifts the entire narrative in the kitchen from what can't I serve to what can we build together on this foundation.
Exactly.
You can chop up scallions, drop in some mushrooms, maybe add some bok choy or tofu, and you haven't broken the recipe. You've just utilized the baseline exactly as it was intended.
It really highlights the difference between a finished product and a culinary canvas.
Well, I like that. A culinary canvas.
Think about it. A styrofoam cup of generic instant noodles is a finished product. You add water, you consume it, and the transaction is over.
Right.
But a 25-minute, mildly spicy, entirely meatless noodle dish is a canvas. It requires your time, it requires your physical presence in the kitchen, and it invites your creative input.
So when we step back and look at the entirety of what we've unpacked today based on our sources, the takeaway is actually incredibly empowering for you, the listener.
It really is.
We have to fundamentally discard the notion that Korean ramyeon is just a cheap, instantaneous, thoughtless snack. The instant noodle label is entirely inadequate for the reality of the dish.
It's a misnomer that robs us of the actual experience. When you approach it as an instant magic trick, you are setting yourself up for frustration.
Yeah.
But when you accept the reality of the preparation, it becomes something highly practical.
It is an easy 25-minute culinary process. It is defined by a warming, mild heat that acts as the structural spine of the dish because of the strict and intentional absence of pork, beef, chicken, and seafood.
Right.
And because of that brilliant subtraction, it offers perfect, seamless vegetarian adaptability. It is safe, deliberate, mindful home cooking that anyone can execute.
And if we really embrace that idea of the culinary canvas, it leaves us with an interesting proposition for you, the listener, to mull over.
Let's hear it.
Since this 25-minute, meatless, mildly spicy ramyeon acts as the perfect, highly adaptable foundation, what single, completely unexpected ingredient from your own local culture would you drop into the pot to make this global dish uniquely yours?
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.